Hello and welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight. Today, it's just me and Sophie on this episode, and we're joined by Linda Monaghan. Did I get that right?
Linda Monaghan.
Monaghan, see, even in like the
beforehand. It's okay, I forgive you.
I'll get it wrong, but you know, it is me. Everyone who listens to this podcast know how bad I'm butchering people's names. I might have it as my slogan when I'm a grave or when I die, you know. The king of butchering names.
You just panic as well. You just want to say it really quick.
I just want to get it over and done with because, you know, it's bad, but you know.
Yeah.
But welcome, Linda. Do you want to tell us all about you and what you're currently doing?
Thank you, guys. Thank you. So my name is Linda Monaghan, and I am from the company Corporate to Calm. So that is a company that I developed in 2021, and it started with a podcast, and it has evolved into an accountability coaching business, would you believe? So that's where I am at the moment, but I really started my life in marketing and corporate. So I had two children in quick succession between 2014 and 2016, and I loved my job. I worked in FMCG, so far away from tech. I used a laptop for my job, but it was far away from tech. And when I had the kids, it was kind of a case of, oh, you're not going to work those 70 hours that you used to work. I don't know if that's going to work for us. So we parted ways quite amicably. And I started my own fitness business. And from there, I started the podcast. And I spoke to mainly women. There's a couple of men thrown in there, but mainly women about huge decisions that they've made in their lives. Whether it is opening their own business, whether it is closing a business and going back to corporate. And what evolved from there was the accountability and habit coaching business, because I realized that so many women in business and fundamentally then women in tech were just not taking time for themselves. They were just going full tilt professionally, and their personal lives were suffering because of that. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go back to my business roots and help women who own their own business, and then primarily women in tech in the corporate sector, to just find time for themselves. And it seems sad that you have to actually tell women to take their time, but you do. And that's what I do. I help people figure out where to fit things in their day.
Awesome. And that's probably people listen to this ain't a usual one where we're interviewing a woman that's been in the tech space. It's a woman that basically helps support women in tech by empowering them, helping prevent burnout. So hopefully this will be a very, you know, empowering episode for everyone that's listening, because you know, you get to learn more about what you can do for yourself. As you know, self-care is a massive thing, and you know, if you don't look after yourself, then you know, you will feel the pressures and the burnout and the struggles that come with, you know, in the corporate working environment.
I think as well, working in tech, it is so easy to, and it's probably like a lot of other industries as well, but it is so easy to pick up your phone on an evening if you've got an email, or if you've got Teams on your phone, you know, I'll just get back to someone, even on holiday. Only one holiday this year was my first holiday in 5 years being in tech where I said, right, I'm turning everything off. And I've never done that before. But yeah, it's just so easy because tech is 24/7. It's just so easy to do the little things. And maybe I could be wrong in saying this, but that probably does have an impact on your mental and physical health without you even realizing.
Yeah. How did you feel about turning things off? Were you guilty? Were you how did you feel about that?
I felt a bit of guilt. I did feel guilty. But I also felt so relaxed. And don't get me wrong, when I got back, I did then go over all my emails and everything else, just because if I was to come to my next working day, it would stress me out. I probably won't be able to sleep. So I did do that, but whilst I was away, I didn't. And honestly, my worries had gone. Put it that way. So yeah, I completely resonate with probably your clients. Yeah.
But I love that as well, because you came back and you checked your emails and you got everything sorted because before you went back to work, because that's what suits you.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's not like it's so bespoke for everybody, because it's not one size fits all, and it's not it's not completely turning off, you know, between work hours and personal hours, or professional hours and personal hours. You have to do what's right for you. So coming back and say it was a Sunday night and clearing all those emails, that's what was going to be more productive for you and more mentally helpful to go asleep that night, knowing that you've faced that, you know. And that's the thing. It's really, you know, finding something that works for you. And the biggest thing, as far as, you know, burnout in tech completely. So talking about men and women, like burnout in tech in 2019 was 57%, but that only increased to about 60% over the pandemic. So it was there already, if that makes sense. So it's not as if, you know, working from home and that accessibility, because we all know that, you know, the commute to work kind of was non-existent, the commute home was non-existent, because you're literally switching off the laptop and going in, and that hybrid working has transferred now. So it was really interesting that tech and, you know, burnout in tech didn't hugely increase, because it was already there, if you know what I mean. And that women experiences 15% more than men as well. These are all studies from 2019, 2020. So you are fundamentally programmed to experience burnout a little bit more. And that's because of pay disparity. It's because of advancement opportunities maybe not being there as much for you. And, you know, there is that bias there. There is that discrimination there. And we don't like to hear it. We know that, you know, there's so many men that are allies in the workplace and they're allies in the tech industry, but there's still that unconscious bias there for women, for people of color as well, you know. So it's really kind of addressing those issues, and that's what compacts this issue of burnout, because, you know, the 15% more is because maybe men don't have to address that as much as women do.
It's interesting, and I guess as well, I think it's also important. So, example, my boss, when I was away, she was but she was like, if you email me back whilst you're away, then there's going to be hell to pay. Like, you are not, she says, I don't care if there's massive fires going on. She was like, do not email me back. And that's it. I don't want to see any emails, nothing at all. But I can imagine, obviously, you can share this, that there are a lot of women that will still feel pressured when they're away and things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that goes for everybody, you know. That goes for men, women, non-binary. Yeah. That goes for everybody, non-binary as well. Like, you know, you do feel that pressure to perform even when you're not there. The biggest thing as well is that it's so lovely that you have that supportive boss, you know, that is actually saying to you, yes, don't email me back, don't. And that's great, because that shows the corporate side, you know, supporting you and you know, taking a little bit of responsibility for you. We have to take responsibility for ourselves as well. And, yeah, you know, even talking about, you know, pay disparity and everything, our own feelings and our own kind of reality is there as well. And that's what can jeopardize us as well. Like, so from imposter syndrome to the work-life balance. And, you know, really managing that as well, because do we overcompensate as women in tech? Because it's like, should I be here? Have I got the right? Am I worthy of this as well? You know, and it's kind of sitting back and taking stock and going, yes, I bloody should be here. And yes, you know, I am entitled to be here. And I, you know, I have the qualifications, I have the skill set, I have. And it's taking that personal responsibility and moving that into the arena of self-care and work-life balance as well. And realizing that, you know, having those set hours and turning off your notifications and not bringing your phone into the bedroom. There's so many things that you can do from you from a personal perspective. And that's your responsibility as well.
I think, you know, looking after yourself is, you know, something that a lot of people are not very good at. I mean, obviously, when you go from working from home, I've been doing it now longer than before COVID. So, You know, for me, it was normal. But during COVID, it was a lot different to what I've experienced previously. Because, yeah, I'd go and do the school run, I'd come back, and then I've got, you know, all the things that I need to do. My wife was at work, I could crack on and do what I need to do. But then, obviously, COVID happened. Then there was the pressures of having childcare constantly. Because normally, you know, this is the time of year that I hate, because the kids are at home, they're causing chaos, they're using the internet. Before, just before this episode, my internet broke. And it changed everything, because, you know, then my mindset had to be, well, I've got to get up for work. I haven't got that commute, because sometimes I was traveling to customers. So, you know, you have that time for just that headspace. I mean, just get in the car and drive in to a customer. You can sit there, you can relax, you can listen to a podcast, you can listen to music. You have that time to yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you work from home and it's constant, same four walls every single day, it is hard. And one thing that I've been doing more recently is basically taking like a mental health day, which is basically mm-hmm. where I take my laptop, I go and sit in my local Wetherspoons, I get a £2, whatever it is, refillable coffee, and I'll sit and work there, because, you know, it's a completely different environment, and I'm not going to be disturbed from anyone. I can sit there, do all my emails, do all the documents I need to do, and then just carry on normal life.
Yeah, and I love that, and I think that's so important, and that's, you know, as we alluded to previously, like that's what works for you. And it's so interesting, because when I talk to men about COVID and their experiences, it's like, oh yeah, things changed and everything got crazy and everything like that. And when I talk to women about it, COVID, it's like, oh, things got balanced, because because basically both people were at home. If you had for me, I had the experience that I had my own business, and I didn't work a 9-to-5 because, you know, I was teaching or I was doing this or that. And it was a case of, yeah, my partner stepped in and he was doing stuff that he might not necessarily have been doing. And that was amazing for me. But what worked for us is that we sat down and we still do is sit down on a Sunday evening and go, OK, who needs to be here? Because the face of it has changed forever now, because we are hybrid working. We are still working from home. And it has become a case that in my household, it's become a lot more shared, and my life has become easier, but I wouldn't say my partner's life has become easier, because he's taken on a little bit more of the responsibility as well. But the biggest thing from the perspective of this conversation and women in tech is that what we're reluctant to do, and I'm going to be very general about this, and some people mightn't agree, is asking for that help. And you know, saying to, you know, your partner or a sibling if it's looking after parents, because we don't all have kids either. We're not all in families, you know, maybe you have an elderly parent or, you know, and it's really asking for that help is one big step, because we're reluctant to do that. And I think that's everybody, you know, not just women. And it's sitting down and going, I can't do this by myself. And that's where you're going to create time for you. And you know, for everybody, the biggest space and the biggest way to create time, because we're probably talking to a lot of people that are still working from home, that are working that hybrid hours, is in the morning. And this doesn't work for everybody, I understand that, but the biggest space creator is in the morning and getting up that little bit earlier. And I get crucified on my TikTok for this, because it's like, I want my lion, or I'm you know. And honestly, like for me, about 5 years ago, I used to get up about, say, quarter to 8, 7:30, and then go into work for kind of 9 or whatever, and bringing that back to 5:45. So I get out of bed at 5:45, I go to a class at 6:15, I have a walk, and I'm home by, say, 7:45. My kids are eating breakfast, and I get to spend about 15 minutes with them before they go to school. And my husband does most of the bringing to school, and I do the collection, because that's how we've managed it. But creating that space in the morning for me has been absolutely gold. And by getting up at 5:45 as opposed to 7:45, I've created an extra 40 hours a month of space and self-care for me. And I often get, I'd rather have the sleep. I'd rather have your body clock amends, and your body clock goes, oh, I have to go to bed earlier. And that's what happens. It's a gradual, and, you know, forget about the weekends. We all want to lie in at the weekends, and we all want, you know, we do deserve sleep. But I definitely, from talking to people who get up that little bit earlier, and I know people call them the 5 o'clock club, and then there's others that get up at 2:30 in the morning and go to the gym. I don't get that. That's the, you know, that each their own. But I definitely find that creating that space for me, and for when I talk to my clients about it, when they try it, it's huge. It's a game changer. And, you know, did I want to get up at 5:45 this morning? Absolutely not. I honestly, I'm just back from being away. But I went and begrudgingly did my class. And at 7:05, I was on a promenade on a beach with the sun shining. It's cloudy now, but the sun was shining at 7:05. And I was home here for 8 o'clock. And it was indulgence and time for me. And it was it's just the best gift that I can give me and that I can offer to my clients as well. It's just creating that space in the morning, because if you don't do something for you in the morning, it's hanging over you all day, you know. And that's not for everybody, because, you know, maybe your commute starts at 5 a.m. and you're not getting up earlier. So you do have to manage your own time and everything like that. But I do think, you know, getting up that little bit earlier in the morning is an absolute gift to you.
Well, I mean, I think for me, like, even though the kids are off school, I'm still going to basically get up at the time that I would have when I'm obviously helping them pack their lunches, take them to school, because you need routine. If you start breaking your routine, then, you know, you start struggling. And that's, I know I've experienced that quite a lot. And that's why I'm trying to be more strict in what I'm doing, how I approach things.
Yeah. And I love that, because we need that. We need routine. And I mean, it's all right to throw it out the window every now and then. And that's what holidays are for, and Christmas is for, and birthdays are for, and everything like that. But to have that routine, it just gives us structure, it gives us consistency, and it just creates productivity as well. It really does, because, you know, you've got everything ticked off your list. Like by 8:30, you know, I've journaled, I've drank a couple of liters of water, and I'm not worrying about those things that I'm doing for my mental health or my physical well-being during the day. It's off the list. And for me, the biggest thing about, we haven't even kind of touched on, because they are habits, you know, getting up at 5:45 in the morning, it is a habit. The biggest thing about habits is reducing decisions. So not thinking about it, you know. And it's for me, it's having those clothes at the end of the bed or on a chair in the bedroom. It's having water ready by your bedside, so you're getting, like, you know, a pint of water into you first thing before you even think about it. It's you know, maybe being grateful for something the minute you wake up. And I know that it's a funny one, but like making your bed is something you can take off and do. And I make my bed, my side of the bed, and my partner, he goes mad. He's like, why are you making the bed? It's like, because I feel better. And I'm making the bed at like 5:45 with him still in it. But it's just a little routine and a little thing that at least my side looks neat. And there is a great statistics that you're something like 225 times more likely to be a millionaire if you make your bed. Wild statistic like that. So it's kind of, that keeps me going. The little kind of carrot dangling down, make your bed.
I can't start my day if I hadn't made my bed. It would actually irritate me, I feel, if I hadn't done it. Every single morning when I get up, first thing I do is make my bed. And I always have water at the side of my bed, but I haven't cracked the early mornings yet. I have tried, but I just haven't cracked it.
One suggestion I could make to you is set. The biggest thing that we do with habits is try to do them all at once. So we try, you know, it's always Monday, and it's always, I'm going to do this, and this. And the biggest thing that, like, getting up early for me, that took about 3 years to get to that time, you know, consistently, because you'd do it and then you'd get it, and it's really, really hard. And you have to work at some things. Some things are automated. and some things you really have to work at all of the time. And for me, getting up early was taking 12, and this is what I would advise my clients, is take 12 weeks and every Monday set your alarm clock 5 minutes earlier. So if you get up at 7:30, set it for 7:25, then 7:20. And then you're just gradually taking that time out of your sleep, as opposed to doing it all in one chunk. Because if you get up at 7:45 and then all of a sudden you're getting up at 5:45, you're taking 10 hours of sleep out of your week without even, you know, and that's a lot, especially if we're talking about burnout for the tech industry, and we're talking about not being able to switch off from your phone. So gradually, and that's what I say, you know, with my clients, it's sustainable habits, you know, consistent habits, but snowballable habits. So, you know, the kind of image of that snowball just kind of rolling along, because don't start it all at once. And it's like, you know, if you're drinking water, drink 500 mils, a pint of water, and then add on to it gradually. Don't try and conquer the world in 1 week, because you won't do it. And that's how we bring ourselves back all the time.
That's a really good tip. I'm going to do that tomorrow morning, 5 minutes earlier. I'm going to start it.
Yeah.
I'm a new woman. The problem is, and Andrew and John know this, I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I'm in bed for nine. I don't have late nights. I'm bed for 8:30, sleep for 9 every single night. So I should be able, I probably sleep too much. I should be able to get up early.
Yeah, so all the podcasts that we do in an evening, Sophie's never there because she's always asleep.
Is that half? Who's awake at that time?
I don't understand. No, 10:30.
Chance. As much as I love you and John, there's not a chance I've ever got to be doing that.
Oh, we have to do it, because obviously, you know, if you want to get guests on from America, we have to, like, you know, balance it out.
I do understand that. That is the bane of having a podcast, and I will go my corporate account podcast. That is the bane of having it, that you are fitting in guests globally. So yeah, and it has to be done, because that's how you grow. America is the key to podcast growth.
You crack America, that's how you crack the world.
I am telling you, if you crack America, that's it.
So how did you get into this then? Sort of going back, what was, you know, through school, college, what was your interest? How did you get into having your own business?
So so I left the corporate world, and I was probably burnt out. I'd had a 5-year journey to have my kids, so there was IVF involved, and ended up having both of them naturally after procedures, which is a completely other chapter and another journey. But after that, I was kind of like, okay, so I've done this whole thing where I've struggled to have children. I have them now. Am I going to go to work for 70 hours a week? And not to say that somebody who does that, that's their business, but this was personal to me. And I just didn't go back to work after having the second kid. And I was like, what do I do? And I loved fitness and loved everything about it. And on my 38th birthday, I enrolled to be a PT. And I went and physically trained to be a PT. And I was older than some of the people's mums on the course. So there was 19 and 20 year olds. The most, do you know what? They were so inspiring, because there was these kids who were in third level education getting, you know, a BSc in business management, or, you know, doing marketing or anything. And they were training to be PTs on the side, because they were going to PT if they went to Australia or if they went around the world. So that was going to be their side hustle. And I was just like, this is, you know, this is a level up. So did that, and then realized, well, I am 38. So maybe PTing isn't going to be the way to go, because, you know, the market is a little bit smaller. So I became a Pilates teacher, and I opened up my own Pilates school.
Okay.
And did that for about 4 years, and, you know, very successful. And then COVID hit, and through technology, I went online straight away. and I attended my own class. So I had my own Pilates teacher who never went online over COVID. And I could not understand it. I was like, what do you, people were afraid to do it. And at one stage, kind of, I would say kind of summer 2020, I was teaching over 100 people online a week. And it was really, and it kept, that's what kept my mental health going through that whole stage. And I created programs and, you know, it was a great community. And then I got COVID myself. And it was fine. I was in bed. I literally isolated for 10 days. And, you know, I had friends going, you're after being on a little holiday. And it was honestly, I was like, this is grand. I had a bit of a sore throat or whatever. And after that, I experienced long COVID. So for about 5 months, I couldn't, if I taught a class, I couldn't speak and do the moves at the same time. I was constantly running out of breath, running out of energy. I couldn't digest food and speak at the same time. So if I was having dinner, I couldn't speak because my breath would go. So I kind of just sat back and reevaluated. And in December, that was kind of October 2021. And in December 2021, I decided to stop teaching Pilates. And it was really such an opportunity because I was like, I'm loving this life, but I want to get back into the business world and I want to get back into it. And that was my opportunity to do that. And I decided to close, and then I had 3 months of feeling really fucking sorry for myself. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm so fit and I can't walk up the stairs without being out of breath, and this is ridiculous. And I had applied for a course in one of our colleges here, and it was a creativity, leadership and innovation course. And I had gotten it, and I was still feeling, you know, and it was all online, which was lucky enough, and I was still kind of feeling I just kind of had a little word with myself, and I was like, oh, this can't go on. And then I got COVID again.
Oh, God.
Within 5 months, I went to a gig, and I reckon I got COVID. It was over Patrick's weekend and whatever. And honestly, it was like a reset button. It was like, you know, when the blue screen of death comes on your computer. Oh, or yes, we know that. And honestly, that's what it felt like. It felt like my body just went, okay, you've had this. And it was like, I don't know if anybody else experienced it, but it was like as if the second bout cleared the first bout out. Within a week, I had no long COVID symptoms. And then I was like, was it all in my head? Do you know, because I was in a place where I was trying to figure out where things were going. And at the same time, I gave up alcohol. So I'm 16 months alcohol free. So I just made these huge life decisions in kind of March 2022. And that evolved into the accountability and habits coaching business, and that's where it's gone from there. And the well-being, I'm certified in health and well-being coaching as well, so that came along for the ride because I go into corporates now and speak about well-being and you know your overall health and well-being in corporate as well. So that's where it evolved from. So it's kind of a bad thing happening to me has evolved into a great thing happening for my life and for others. So it's great. And it's like the bad things that happen in your life are opportunities sometimes. That's the real message.
I mean, obviously you have dealt with some really big organizations in the workshops you've done as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So I've been into eBay, into some housing groups in Ireland, Cluage, and some television stations. And I developed, they say sometimes opportunity arises out of crazy things. So I am an avid TikTok user, and after about 6 months or so, I've 10,000 followers on TikTok. And
amazing.
Yeah, and I've wanted to teach people in my space, so people in their 40s, women in their 40s, how to use TikTok to promote their business. So that has been really fruitful. And we have fashion designers over here, Len and Courtney. So I taught them how to use TikTok. So that's been, it's been great. So there's been huge opportunities, and it's still, I know it sounds bizarre, but it's still like, getting a query this morning about accountability coaching from somebody who I admire. And it's like, wow, it's still exciting, and it's new, and it's great. And it's where I'm meant to be. That's the main thing. And then that's what I would say to people. It's like, assess where you're meant to be and go for it and take that leap.
So who inspires you then, in the world of women in tech?
I suppose looking at, the obvious answers is the Sheryl Sandbergs of the world, and they've been so amazing. But looking at from kind of a social impact area, the likes of Kimberly Bryant with the Black Girls Code, and Megan Smith, who she's a huge advocate for kind of, self-care and wellness in the women in tech industry. And she worked for the Obama administration. So, the likes of them, as opposed to kind of the obvious answers as well. So there's so many. It's amazing.
And that's just it, is just highlighting all these amazing women, because there's a lot of names out there that, I still don't even know, but I know they're doing good work. You feel the waves of how it impacts others. And ever so, every time I send out a recording to any of our guests, they always tell me who inspires them in the community. And I look at the list of names, and I don't even know that person. So I then go and do just a little bit of research about them, just to understand what kind of impact they're having.
And even from a local perspective, and the reason that I'm here is because of Javantika from Microsoft in Ireland. And she, I saw her speak back in, I think it was March, maybe, might have been later. And for a woman in her kind of 20s to create an online global group, with over 5,000 members, and it's all her time and her effort, and it's all for free as well. It's amazing. So it's really amazing how women in general, but women in tech, are willing to support one another, and that's what we need. It's a supportive culture, because we alluded to earlier on. I alluded to, you have to take things. Responsibility from a personal perspective, but from a corporate perspective, corporate does have to take responsibility and promote that work-life balance and a supportive culture, and address that bias as well, and address it through and encourage self-care. It's there's so many things that you have no control of as a person in tech or a woman in tech. That you have to kind of push the agenda of corporate as well.
So Javantika is going to be calling this podcast in a couple of weeks. I think it's towards the end of August. We spoke about it on the last episode. It's literally the reason I've got so many different women coming from Microsoft is because I put a post on LinkedIn, and then that post then got shared somewhere in Microsoft in the Teams channel. And I just say I got literally just, I want to say attacked, but I literally got my inbox just got hit with so many requests. Please can I come to this podcast? I'll share my story. And I've had a few again today, so I'm literally working through this long list of people that work for Microsoft going, we'll get them all penciled in and booked in.
Oh, it's great. And it's that's the thing. And it was through Javantika sharing it that I saw it. And that's the thing. It is a case of asking, and that you were looking for guests and you asked for help. And it is sometimes a struggle, because there is, we talked about before we came on air, there is a limited pot of people for a podcast like this, for my own podcast, and we do constantly have to ask you know, people to come on, and it's great to get that feedback on LinkedIn, because it's brilliant, and that's the thing, and you should be so proud of what you guys are doing as well.
I mean, you know, I try to, you know, make this as such a easy going, free flowing conversation as much as possible, because it is scary, it is challenging, you know, putting yourself in a comfort zone where you're probably not normal of doing, because, you know, when I started doing this podcast, I'm like, oh, I mean, I've done some public speaking, so yeah, it shouldn't be too bad. But then it's then going through, okay, well, I've done the episode now, I've now got to go back and listen to my own voice, which I hate doing, doing all the editing, cutting out all the little bits, any kind of, like, you know, stuttering, like ums, arms, it's like, yeah, it is a pain, but, you know, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy re-listening to episodes as well, because what I might have missed in the finer details in what someone said before, I then pick up later on. So, you know, it's a good experience, definitely.
And I think that's a really good point, because sometimes we choose the information that we want to hear out of something depending on our mood and depending on where we are, you know, mentally as well. And it's to be admired by you guys when you say that you're editing and you're, because that's what happens with smaller podcasts. And the reason for podcast fade is because it's like, oh my God, am I going to reap these rewards? Am I going to get a big sponsor? Am I going to? And, you know, not necessarily that's everything that you want, but, you know, it's everything that you deserve. And then you see the likes of the bigger podcasts and, you know, the diaries of certain CEOs of it, and, you know, a budget of 2 million, you know, a staff of X, Y, and Z. You know, it's there's the playing field, like with everything, isn't level, but it's a great form of media that you can enter and you can participate in. Like, we're not making a TV show. We can compete with the likes of that. But, I mean, isn't it amazing that this platform is accessible to everybody if you have a passion and an idea and you want to make a difference in people's lives? And that's exactly what you guys are doing.
And so obviously the sharing aspect of it as well is from, like, word of mouth as well. So, yes, post on LinkedIn to all your connections. You'll get that, but until someone likes it or reposts it or shares it to someone else, you're not going to get that engagement. I mean, I was looking at our statistics on YouTube just the other day, and it's like 95% of our viewers on YouTube are not subscribed.
I know.
It's like, I'm getting all this, like, you know, all these views, but why are people pressing that subscribe button and notified?
And it's so funny. That's such a good point, because why it's funny, because I think that's lessening, because people are going in to watch it, and it's just I don't understand why there's private subscribe on. Well, maybe there is a reason, because it could be, but this whole, you know, you can't see what other people subscribe to on YouTube when they have private mode on, and it's like, that's such a good way to, if you have something in common with somebody, to kind of see what are they looking at, what are they watching, and it's a great way to kind of find things to view and things to look at, you know. And that can be very frustrating sometimes, and that's why I love, kind of, you know, with Instagram and TikTok and those business arenas where they'll go, oh, read this book, or, you know, and it's like offering value for it, and you can, it's maybe a little bit more transparent that you can see. But yeah, it is frustrating when you don't get the subscribe, and that's why it's like making sure that you follow people. I'm like, no, do I follow you guys on LinkedIn? I'll have to make sure that I do.
If you haven't, I'm not surprised if I've sent you a request to follow us, because I do it all the time. I think we're up to like over 1,000 followers on LinkedIn. Amazing. Which is like more than we've got, and I think we've got about, what, 100 like subscribers on YouTube. So I've got more people following us on LinkedIn than I do actually on YouTube. It's like, yeah. It is what it is. But I think coming close to our recording time, so I'm gonna throw like a two-pronged question at you. John normally does this, but I'm gonna do it today. So what was one of the lowest parts of your career, and like how did you like overcome that?
I suppose leaving my corporate life was the hardest part of my career. I was 15 years in corporate. I was marketing, head of trade marketing in an FMCG company, and I loved my job. I absolutely loved it. It was a spin plates kind of job. It was really great fun, and it was really a grieving process when I left. And there was one issue over something. I'm over it, but it's like the one single, you know, issue creates a life-changing thing. And it's like I've talked about that it was an opportunity in the end, but at the time it wasn't. At the time, for I'm talking 6 months, it really impacted my life, and it was like a death, you know. And I went to counseling because of it, just to kind of figure it out. Because I tell you, one of the main reasons I went to counseling, because I was absolutely wrecking my husband's head talking about it. He was like, I can't listen to this anymore. I cannot listen. And I had about 5 or 6 sessions with the counselor to just go through why I was feeling like this. And, you know, it was, you know, those whole kind of denial, those stages of grief. And it was a process that I had to go through, and I'm glad I'm out the other side. But I think that as women in general, sometimes we're forced into situations that we don't necessarily want to go. Like I'd love to say that it was a choice to leave. It was at the end of the day, but
he's gone.
He's gone.
Is that right?
It was my choice at the end of the day, but kind of the pre-leading kind of 3 months up to it were the factors that I left. And so much wouldn't have happened if I had stayed in corporate, and my kids wouldn't be where they are now as far as school is concerned, as far as the opportunities that they have are concerned, and I wouldn't be where I am with the business. So I really am a firm believer that things happen for a reason, and out of bad situations, great opportunities can arise. So, I mean, if you are feeling like you're in a situation that, you know, you just can't see the way through, like you will get through it. And it's not toxic positivity, and it's not like you have to feel and you have to process and you have to get through the situation. But, you know, it's such a cliche, but time is a great healer. It really, really is. It's just getting through those hard days to get to where you can look back and go, oh yeah, oh, I learned something from that situation.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great message. And I do know the other question, what he's going to ask, so I can ask you that. So on the flip side then, what's the most, your biggest achievement within your career? And what positive things have you taken away from your career path?
I suppose the biggest achievement from a corporate perspective, the biggest achievement was hitting a 6-figure salary. That's huge. And it's like, yeah, money helps with life, you know. And
just especially now as well, even more.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a huge achievement for me. And it's so funny, it kind of helped with validation through my career, because I've so many friends and colleagues who are, you know, really want titles, and they want, you know, and I'm like, give me the money.
Yeah, I'm the exact same.
I'm like, I don't need that pat on the back for a title. I'm like, you know, I'll take the money. And yeah, you know, then from you know, my own business perspective, making that decision to go back to a purely business role, and just helping people and having that first client go, yes, I'm going to sign with you, and yes, I'm going to you know, take this journey with you. And you know, my first client from last year is still with me today, so that's really a great thing as well. So that they're the milestones, and that's it. Like, you know, don't take taken those learnings, and that's what's been great. Like it's as I say, an opportunity. Everything is an opportunity, and you just have to process it and move on at your own pace. Don't the worst things I think you can hear is kind of relax and get over it. It's like, no, process information at your own pace and then make your decisions.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess just finally then, if anyone listening, as it is mostly women in tech, would like to reach out, how can they reach you? I know you said you've got a podcast as well, so yeah. Just share some of the details.
Absolutely. So my website is corporatecam.com. And all of my services are on there. So one-to-one coaching, the accountability club, and I have a variety of different products as well that can help you with productivity and boundaries and time management. And my podcast is Corporate to Calm, and you can find me across socials on Corporate to Calm, or if you look up The Habit Boss, purely for SEO reasons, that I christened myself the Habit Boss, and obviously I am the Habit Boss. And then Linda Monaghan on LinkedIn, Monaghan, and that is, to any Irish listeners, that's the county without the G, so Monahan. So please feel free to reach out if you have any questions, and if you're interested in becoming a client, I absolutely love it.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for that, Linda. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I've learned loads. I'm doing the 5-minute rule every morning because I need to get up earlier.
Yeah, and you will. And I mean, that's it. The body becomes accustomed to it and adjusted to it. But it's like, don't do it all at once. Just kind of, creep it up and let me know how you get on. I'd love to hear how you get on in a few months' time.
I will. Don't get me wrong. I've tried exercising in a morning, because I love swimming, I love running. I'm not so motivated on the gym now, but I was early, like a couple of years back. But I've tried doing that in the morning, and I just don't feel as energized. I just don't feel as strong is the right word. But I think that might be because I'm getting up straight away going, and then by the time I get, I'm not eating. I'll spend as much time in bed to then have to do it. So then I always regret exercising in the morning. But there's obviously reasons why, isn't there?
And then maybe it's a different type of exercise in the morning than the evening as well. Do you know that way? So it's all, and that's one of my other basic principles. It's like, move with joy. And I love that you say, I used to go to the gym, but I don't now. It's like, don't do shit that you hate, because honestly, you will stop doing it. Do you know?
Exactly.
So it's finding something that you love to do, and doing it with joy. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and I need to try Pilates. My friend yesterday, who I went to see Barbie with, she said there's some Pilates near where we live. So I really, really want to try it.
Yeah, I do. It's a great, honestly, it's such a good strengthening workout. There's mobility, flexibility, everything that you want, you can get from Pilates. So it is great.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And again, apologies, Andrew, I had to drop off on the last bit. But you've been absolutely amazing. Just thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sophie and Andrew. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
No worries at all.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFTSpotlight. And we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.